Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ who is coming again. Amen. It is no secret that we in the Northern Hemisphere are coming to the darkest time of the year. In fact, 6 days from today, we will have the shortest daylight hours of any day through an entire calendar year. Some of us go to work in the dark and we come home in the dark as well. But we in our year have a great advantage over people who lived when the Advent wreath was invented. Back in 1839, they did not worship in brightly lit churches. They did not go home to brightly lit homes. There were no new LED bright lights on the roads, though there may have been a lamp lighter and some smudgy oil lamps along the way. Prior to the people becoming Christians in Scandinavia and Germany, those people had a custom of putting candles on wreaths or wooden wheels in the darkest time of December as an effort to think that warmth and light were returning to the world. Once the gospel was brought to them of Jesus Christ, they adapted that custom and used those candles to point ahead to Jesus. It was in 1839 that a German Lutheran pastor came up with the number of candles that would designate the weeks and the days leading up to Christmas. Thus it is that our modern Advent wreaths really date back to a time in which the light is to overcome the darkness. Even as we have advantages in 2019 that they didn't have in 1839, so those people in 1839 had great advantages over those who lived in the time of Isaiah, from whom we have read this day. Those were hugely dark days. It is likely that the words that we have read this morning were offered during a time when God's people were in exile, living in slavery to foreign conquerors. The Babylonians had taken everything away from them. As we read that exile literature, we can almost feel a collective depression suffered by the people. Dark, very dark. But even into those dark days, God would send words that one should not give up hope. Imagine that you are living in a land against your will, far away from here. You have no future but to serve your conqueror. And in that circumstance, God gives you a message that sounds something like, "Behold, I am sending you a servant who will proclaim justice. This servant will not faint or be crushed until justice comes to the nations." And you say, "Yes, please send that servant so that justice may come to your people to whom you have given life and breath." But God is not done. God says, "I have taken you by the hand as my daughter and son that you may be the light to the world. The blind will see, the oppressed will go free. New things are happening." Would you find hope in these words, living in darkness and slavery? These words are part of Isaiah's servant songs, and there's been debate over the centuries over who this servant would be. Did Isaiah have in mind a specific individual who would come in his day, in his lifetime, who would deliver justice to the nations? Or did Isaiah believe it was a group of people? Maybe Isaiah believed that it was the whole of Judah and Israel who would be this light to help the oppressed go free. Or was he pointing only to one named Jesus Christ, who became the perfect suffering servant and truly was the light to the world? as one reads those words in Isaiah, there are many different interpretations, many ways to think of this servant. But when we turn to our gospel for today, this gospel of Matthew, there is no question about the servant. The servant is Jesus Christ in the reinterpretation. In these words from Matthew today, we are in the midst of a long set of teachings and healings by Jesus. One of those healings took place on the Sabbath, which infuriated the Pharisees, so much so that they plot to destroy him. When Jesus becomes aware of this conspiracy, he leaves. And as he travels the countryside, he heals everyone that he comes to, whom he encounters. But then he tells people not to tell others who he is. This is to fulfill a prophecy in Isaiah that this servant would not raise his voice nor serve with acclaim. This servant, Jesus, speaks of Isaiah and about himself. Jesus is the chosen one. Jesus is the servant. Jesus is the one who has come to proclaim justice to the world. Jesus is the one in whom all will have hope, including the Gentiles. And we would add, Jesus is the light to the nations. A theme that is so important that we will celebrate fully 10 days from today. So while there could be a lot of misunderstanding or confusion about who the servant might be in Isaiah, there is no question in Matthew, Jesus is the servant. And that hasn't changed for 2,000 years. It is no coincidence or accident that our Advent candles are hoping to beat back the December darkness. Another German Lutheran pastor is credited with first putting lights on a Christmas tree. Legend has it that Martin Luther, walking home one night, was transfixed by stars twinkling through the evergreen boughs, and he was inspired to go home and put candles on his tree. Candles. I did not hear any gasps. Fire on an indoor tree. A German Lutheran church that I served in the 1980s, the very old timers there can remember the time when they had fire candles on their indoor Christmas tree, deacons standing by with buckets of water. Why would we put fire or electric lights on our Christmas trees? Why do we brightly light the outside of our homes with white or blue or multicolored lights? Sociologists tell us that we have this kind of inner want to make the December darkness go away. And darkness will not win. The light and warmth and sun are coming again. That's an important theme out of the Gospel of John, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That Word is the light and life. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. That is the truth from Isaiah, from John. It is the truth for today. Now, the fact is, this truth was not fulfilled in the time of Isaiah. It took 500 years for that baby to be born in a manger in Bethlehem. The fact is that in spite of Jesus' great ministry, his healings, his words of love, most people in Jesus' day lived quite dark existences under the control of the Romans. The fact is, though we have so many advantages in 2019, every person has moments of darkness in their lives. And there are some people who seem to live in perpetual darkness. Maybe that is you. oh, you might think, the light to the nations, that's okay for some people, but it's not for me. We hear of increasing rates of depression and the opioid crisis. We hear of millennials who are struggling to gain economic footing in a slippery economy for them. We live in a time of political dysfunction and global threats. Good night, even cold and the flu season has descended on us far too early in this year. There is ample evidence of darkness. There was ample evidence in the time of Isaiah, the time of Jesus, the time of Martin Luther. But that did not prevent the truth from shining through that darkness. The truth is, Isaiah prophesied and a child was born. Jesus was born and light and life came into the world. Martin Luther and others helped rescue that message of salvation by faith and grace alone through the one who is the light of the world. Maybe you are living in a time of personal darkness. Prayers and strength to you. The evil forces in this world would like all of us to live permanently in darkness. But the truth is this: the light has come. The light is here. The light is coming again. We have hope. His name is Jesus.